Morning. We do have the introduction to firearm safety class. You say, why in the world is a church having that? Is this some kind of fringe church or prepping church or something? No, just a prepping pastor. No, I'm just kidding. It's been many, many months, but we used to have a men's shooting night, and we did it before COVID, of course, canceled a lot of those indoor activities and so forth, and so we would like to begin that back in April, and in preparation for that time of fellowship and time of firearms, we want to have the safety class as well. But the safety class is open to anyone that would like to come, husband, wife, individual, children. If you'd like to bring your kids and have them hear safety features and so forth and be a part of that, you can by all means join in on that. There's no charge for that class. Luke chapter 18 this morning, Luke chapter 18. We do want to see a very interesting and insightful portion of the Scriptures this morning. And if you are in the habit of checking kind of the maps that might be in the back of your Bible, this is the time frame to become aware of those maps and to look at the comings and goings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are now, he has said to his disciples that he's turned his attention to Jerusalem. And we come to this section of verses here. And perhaps you have the map in the back of your Bible, or it's a map that would probably be associated with the final weeks of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, his comings and goings from Jerusalem to Bethany, through Jericho and everything like this. I have a computer-generated map, and it shows the process that the Lord walked through. And so it's interesting to note his participation in some of these locations. And in fact, it's the final time that he would pass this way in some of these events and some of these interactions. And I want you to see this one this morning, Luke chapter 18. We begin reading in verse number 35, 18:35. And the Bible says, "It came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." If you're in the habit of taking notes, you will also find this story in Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 to 34, and then again in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. This is a famous Old Testament city of Jericho. You can read about Jericho, the original standing of Jericho, in Joshua chapter 5. And in the day of Jesus Christ, it was more of a bedroom community for people that worked in Jerusalem. It was a favorite dwelling for many of the priests and even the publicans. Jerusalem was only 15 miles away, but the road to the capital was not only uphill, but also transported the traveler from one weather zone to another. Jerusalem was 2,300 feet above sea level, whereas Jericho was in a hot trench 1,300 feet below sea level. And the heat there was fierce. The north-south highway twisted and turned between high cliffs and yawning ravines. So the Lord makes his way to the city and through the city. And I want to walk down through these verses and see what we would call a familiar sight. You say, okay, Pastor, why would you say it's a familiar sight? Well, in truth, here in our area, we find a lot of people that have stationed themselves at the stoplights and four-way stops in our DMV area and arena. It's not uncommon for you and I to come to a stoplight and to be sitting in the turning lane and to have one or more individuals that will walk by our car, and perhaps they're holding a sign that says, God bless. Perhaps they're holding a sign, needs work. Perhaps they're holding a sign that says, in need of food. And inevitably, we see that on a lot of different corners around the area. And so this is a common thing. And as we walk down through this story, I want you to see how we move from this man in his current condition to what the Lord is going to bring about in the end of the interaction. Would you notice number one with me this morning, verse number 35, it was an unchanging condition. An unchanging condition. Luke chapter 18, verse number 35, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging." In Bible times, such unfortunates were on their own. There were no institutions or social programs that existed to be able to help them, and so they were left to begging. We don't know anything about his family. We don't know anything about the nature of how he arrives at this point each and every day. We don't know whether or not he was homeless. We don't know if someone brought him to this place and then picked him up in the evenings. But he was definitely at the mercy of other people and their benevolence. The two things that we see that are unchanging are that of being blind and that of begging. He is a blind man and he is left there begging. Well, on one day, the Bible says here in verse number 36 that there was something that changed. We do have an unchanging condition. He's blind and he's begging. But would you notice number two with me, verses 36 and 37, there was an unusual commotion. This is odd. This is out of the ordinary. I'm not used to hearing this. No doubt because of his blindness, he had an awareness with his other senses. And on this day, things were different. The Bible says that as he's sitting there begging, verse number 36, he hears the multitude passing by. He asks what it meant. "I've been here this many days. I've been in this spot. I've never heard this kind of a commotion. This is very unusual." The Bible says in verse number 37, "And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." Now again, this is where it's helpful if you have your maps available to you in the back of your Bible, or if you go home and study this in your coming days, you'll see in that map the distance that's from the area in which Jesus Christ was faithfully ministering and there, the Sea of Galilee, and then coming all the way down to this location there in Jericho. But they knew it was Jesus of Nazareth, and he's passing by, and it was a commotion like he'd never heard before, and it was unusual because of the length of the commotion. Now, it'd be interesting to just go and park ourselves in some spot in Washington, D.C., perhaps at the corner of Constitution Avenue and some other route, and you just would park yourself right there on that corner, sit down in a chair and close your eyes and just listen. It'd be very interesting to be in that location and to hear what happens and to hear the items that are occurring day after day. I'm mindful of the nature of Kathmandu, Nepal, and being there in a situation with our missionary. And this is many years ago, but I was riding on the back of his motorcycle, and we came to an encounter where we were going to take a right and go down this kind of back alley road. And when we got onto that road, we then realized that there was a traffic jam, if you would. And I'm on the back of the motorcycle with the missionary. And what we see in front of us is that there is a three-wheeled bicycle that has become attached to a passing car. Because the traffic was so tight and because everyone's trying to figure out their way in and out, the bicycle had actually become physically attached to the car. And it was interesting because the missionary, we drive up on it, we come to a dead stop, obviously the people are attached, the bicycle can't get away, the car can't get away. There was no room around them on the outside because you'd go up onto a a curb, and then you had the buildings on each side. And what was interesting to me is that there were still people honking and trying to figure out if they could get between the bike and the car. And I'm like, where are you going to go? You can't go anywhere. And so I got off of the motorcycle, and the missionary's just sitting there, because it's going to take some time to unhook these and to figure out what's going on and so forth. So I got off the motorcycle. I had a motorcycle helmet on, and I just got off, and I put my back to a wall there in Kathmandu in kind of a back road, and I just thought to myself, man, this is insane. And everyone is honking. I'm like, guys, the honking is not going to make it any better. It's not going to disconnect the bike from the car. And here's what stood out to me. There in Kathmandu, if you go sometime, you'll see this, if it's still there, I think it is. You'll come into this one section of the city, and this is literally the banner that's over the road. It says, and here it is, no horn zone. And I thought to myself, yeah, right. There's no way in this world that they're ever going to stop the national sound of Nepal from stopping. And people will stop using their horns. I mean, it's just, if you don't have the problem solved, then you just need to honk longer and louder. And here's a blind man. Again, if you just kind of put it in your mind's eye, you're sitting on the corner there, perhaps in Washington, D.C., perhaps in another major city in this thoroughfare, and you're used to hearing what you hear every day. His senses are tuned in. And all of a sudden, he realizes, hey, this is much different, and it's lasting a lot longer. His circumstances were as though it would never change. And his days, I'm sure, were much the same. But on this day, there was a very unusual commotion. He's never heard this kind of commotion. He's never heard this kind of length of commotion. And so they finally say to him, they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Would you look at verse number 38? He has an unchanging condition. He's blind. He's begging. On this day, there was an unusual commotion. Hey, I've never heard anything like this before. And so he makes a very uncertain call. Would you load his verse number 38? And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Again, this is different than every other day, but if you could just imagine him sitting there on the roadside, perhaps family members have brought him there every day. He's sitting there with his eyes closed, and he hears people passing by, and no doubt in his mind, he knew the people that were going to work. He knew the ones that were headed to school. He knew that so-and-so and so-and-so had just passed by because he's used to this. He's used to having these kinds of activities all around him, and he no doubt have some kind of a container or his hand out and asking for people to give. And perhaps there were individuals that would come, and on a daily basis they'd give him some kind of funding because everybody knew that that man would be there. And on this day, there's a commotion that's like no other day. Hey, the crowd is passing by, and it's unusually loud today. The horns are honking like they've never honked before. Oh, it must be some kind of a parade. It must be some kind of a recognition. And so he calls individuals, and he says, what's going on? They said, hey, Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And so at this time, he makes a very uncertain call. He doesn't know exactly where Jesus is. Is he down to my left? Is he there in front of me? Is he close by? Is he on the other side of the street? And so he just cries out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And he cries out to the Lord Jesus Christ in a very uncertain call. Which direction is Jesus? Can he possibly hear me? If he can hear me, will he hear me? It's a different matter altogether for having the noise come in through the ear gate, but having the ability and the desire to respond, will he hear me? Will he know that it's me? How in the world, when I'm down on this location, how will he hear my voice above the rest of the crowd and whatever they're saying and whatever they're asking of him? Will he know it's me? I surely want him to know that I believe in his royal heritage. Notice with me in verse number 38, again he says, Jesus, thou son of David. You see, in verse number 37, they said it was Jesus of Nazareth, and that was correct. He is Jesus of Nazareth. But this man doesn't cry out, Jesus of Nazareth, help me! He cries out, Jesus, thou son of David. He recognizes the royalty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in the passage, he makes a very uncertain call. I don't know if this will work, but I'm certainly going to try. We move from this uncertain call to an unending cry. The Bible says in verse number 39, and they which went before him, rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried, so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Again, the uncertain call, I don't know exactly where he is. I can't really sense that because of this great crowd. I can't tell if he's turning, if he even knows that I'm around, if he can make my voice out of the rest of what's going on in the tumult. And they come, they're kind of irritated with him. Hey, stop being so loud. They're just aggravated. They're irritated with his cry. And the Bible says they become impatient with him. Stop this. They told him you should hold your peace. But the Bible says he cried so much the more. It's as though he's saying, I will not be silenced. This is my time. This is my chance. I've never heard a commotion like this before. I've never heard this length of a commotion. Hey, what is it? Well, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. That's Jesus, the son of David. Jesus can change my circumstances. He's never passed this way before. But on this day, I will not be silenced. I will cry out until I know for sure that he's heard my voice. And he has an unending cry. The man is saying, basically, this could be my last chance. This could be my only chance. We read in this very same chapter that another rich young ruler came to Jesus Christ, and he walked away without salvation in his only chance to meet Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, we see people like Agrippa and Felix. Felix said, Paul, come back to me when I have a convenient season, and I'll call for thee. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You see, this was the only time that Jesus was going to pass by. And to this man's point, he was in an unchanging condition. He's been blind and he's been begging. And on this day, with this crowd so great and so vast, he learns that Jesus, the son of David, is passing by. I will not let him pass, but that I will cry out loud enough to know that he's heard my cry. Would you notice number 5 with me? In verses 40 to 42, he has an unwavering conviction. The Bible says, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. Now just imagine again with me, if you would, here he is seated. Jesus is passing by at some distance. And as Jesus is kind of surrounded, and we know the crowds went with him everywhere he went, and no doubt they were asking him. We recall from other stories in the scriptures where someone reaches out to touch Jesus, and he turns and says, who touched me? The crowd was just so great. And so he cries out, he begins to call, and then when that's not sufficient, and he doesn't know where Jesus might be, he cries all the louder, and they can't silence him at all. He had an unwavering conviction. Jesus is passing by. It's never happened before, and it may never happen again, But if my condition is ever going to be affected, it will be because Jesus steps in to meet a need. He has an unwavering conviction. What's that conviction? His conviction is born out of the fact that he's blind and cannot see. He has this deep understanding. Nothing else has affected my condition. There have been no doctors that could help. There's no amount of money that can help. There's no solution. There's no work. There's no effort. There's no energy that can be put into it that will change my condition. There's only one answer. And here's his conviction. I can be changed by Jesus Christ. I can be changed by Jesus Christ. If we could kind of put this in our mind's eye. 2018, my boys and I went to the parade for the Washington Capitals and winning the Stanley Cup. And when we went down to D.C., we experienced some things that we had never seen since we'd been back, or since I'd been back and since the boys were being introduced to these things. And the boys, along with me, we walk into the metro station and it is packed. You know all the machines that are there and you say to yourself, why do they have so many of these machines? That's kind of dumb, isn't it? I bet there were close to, this is a total guess, but there had to be close to 500 people packed in there at the Springfield metro station and they're all lined up to buy a metro ticket. And I said to the boys, I was like, oh my goodness. So we waited our turn. We get on it. Well, then you're on the metro. Have you ever been on the metro when it's in that place of discomfort? Say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Go down to D.C. on July 4th. Wait till about 10:30 and then jump on the metro. Oh, it's a lot of fun. There's no social distancing. You know, there's not enough Purell in the world that can really put a sufficient guard around you, you know. Well, the boys and I get down, and we found a nice spot where it's kind of shaded. It was a little bit warm. It was in the month, I think it was in June. We found a nice little shaded spot, and we sat there, and then lo and behold, the buses started coming by. Oh, we shouted out, and we know for sure that they all heard us. And when we're there in the parade, I mean, we're stacked 5 and 6 rows deep. And everybody's hollering, oh, yeah, there goes so-and-so, there's so-and-so, and I'm your biggest fan! You know, all those kinds of things. They didn't hear me. They don't care. They're just up there, and they're throwing out all kinds of candy and all this kind of stuff and celebrating and everything like this. We really ought to put ourselves in this man's condition. He says, listen, this commotion has never taken place before. And in the middle of all this, I want that man to hear me above all else. Because he's never passed by before. And I have no idea that he'll pass by again. I'm in this condition, and that man is the only one that can make a difference. There's also a conviction of the Lord. This man said, I stand in great need. This man said, Jesus, you can do for me what no one else can do. But we do see what the Lord has said. The Lord, of course, could heal him. I can change your present condition. He also can forgive him. I can change your future destination. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ on this day here at FBT in 2022, for anyone that would call upon Him, Christ can change your present condition and He can change your future destination. It's interesting that the Bible says, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Lord, people been coming by all day. And they've been giving me pennies. I could use a $100 bill. Oh, okay. Well, if that's all you want. Lord, they've been coming by all day. And they've been giving me silver, but I could sure use some gold. Lord, they've been coming by all day, and they've been giving me these kinds of clothes, but I could sure use fancier clothes. The Lord wants him to verbalize his request. And so he says to them, what wilt thou that I do unto thee? Here's your moment. What are you expecting out of this? It's interesting that the Bible says there, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. My friend, when you read verse number 42, if you're in the habit of making notes in your Bible, the same voice that said, receive thy sight, is the voice that spoke the worlds into existence. The great Creator that stepped out and declared, let there be light, and there was light. The same Creator there in Genesis 1:1 that brings it all into existence, that same Creator has taken upon flesh. And he looks down at a portion of his creation, a creation that was blind, a creation that was begging, and that seemed to have an unchanging condition. He looks down at the man and says, listen, your present is going to be changed, and your future is going to be changed. An unwavering conviction. Which brings us to number 6, verse number 43. And this is an unbelievable cure. And immediately he received his sight and followed him glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto him. Now listen, that is such a short verse, isn't it? It's such a short verse. That's not as short as Jesus wept. But it's such a short verse. But can you imagine that? I went to the eye doctor last week. Old age is setting in. The doctor might as well have said, sorry, sir, there's no hope. They put these letters up in front of me and I'm waxing eloquent. O-V-Q-R-T. Well, sir, you got two of those right. And then she said, tell me what you when you can see better. I was like, one or two? Two. Okay, three or four? Four. Okay, one or four? Four. One or three? Three. And she goes through all these different things, and she's like, okay, sir, we know what kind of glasses you need. She goes into the back room, cuts two old Pepsi bottles on the end, puts them in frames and says, thank you, have a good day, you know. No, they take more time now to make those Pepsi bottles into your glasses. They take a little bit longer now. Now, listen. See, I can generally see everyone's here, and I don't have my glasses on. I can generally see everyone's here, and I can generally make out. And if I don't know why we squint to see better, but somehow we squint to see better. Oh, yeah, this is better. No, it's not. Get your eyes as open as you can. I can generally see, and if you get up close, I can see exactly who you are and everything like this, but I would declare myself as generally having sight. Now, I've moved from the 1.0s, and I'm the idiot that's there in the CVS trying on all the different glasses and looking into the thing and saying, oh, yeah, now I can really see good. I can see. And I'm telling you, I love sight. Can you imagine? Again, this is such a short verse. But can you imagine what it was like for that man that's been on that wayside? Oops. That's been there for all these years, blind. Oh, yeah, I remember what this sounds like. Oh, yeah, I that's probably so-and-so headed to school. I remember that sound. Oh, yeah, there goes that horse and his rider. He's always hard on his horse. I know exactly who that is. He hears all these noises every single day. Hey, would you please help? Oh, good. They dropped some coins down nearby me. Where are those coins? I better feel around for them. Ooh, that sounds like a heavier coin. Perhaps it's more value. Well, I've been here for quite a while. It's probably about time for my family to come and get me. Take me home. I'll get a little bit of rest in the overnight hours, and I'll be right back here tomorrow, because this is my lot in life with this unchanging condition. Wait a minute. This is a commotion like I've never heard before. I've never heard this volume of people, and I've certainly never heard it for this length of time. I wonder what's going on. Hey, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Jesus of Nazareth, I know that name. You know, he's the son of David. He's of royal heritage. Jesus! Jesus, can you hear me? And he begins to call out, but he's uncertain about which direction to call because he doesn't know where Jesus might be at that moment. Hey, would you please be quiet? You're aggravating us. You're irritating us. No, I won't be quiet. This is the first time he's ever passed by, and it's unlikely that he'll ever pass by again. Jesus, thou son of David! The Bible says that Jesus stops, hears him specifically, asks the people to bring this man over to Jesus. Imagine what it was like when they started to pick him up. What are you where are you taking me? What are you doing with me? And they carry him over to Jesus, and Jesus says, what wilt thou that I do unto thee? With great conviction, he said, I would that thou receive my sight. You see, at this moment, there's nothing more valuable to him than his sight. There's no clothing. There's no money. There's no other kind of power, prestige. There's nothing that means to him what his sight means. And so he cries out to Jesus Christ and says, I would that I could receive sight. And Jesus says, thy faith hath made thee whole. You imagine the first person you laid eyes on in this world is the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, when Jesus healed him, he didn't have okay vision. He didn't need readers. He didn't need Pepsi bottle bottoms. He could see. He could see. He could see. Now, I know that there's those of us that are reserved and we're dedicated to decorum because we just don't want anyone to see that we can get excited about anything. I've seen people that have been reserved and that have had great decorum. I've seen them at the end of a college football game at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, when there's 100,000 plus individuals wearing orange, and to that point they've been full of decorum. But as that kick left the foot of that Florida Gator kicker and went wide to the left, I have seen people filled with great decorum, and in fact, I had no idea who they were at that moment. Who are you, and what have you done with the person that was once filled with great decorum? And I know there's so many of you that sit in the pew week after week. Pastor, there's not much here that would ever get me excited. I mean, I don't want everyone to think I'm a Bapticostal. And I don't want anyone to ever see that I would shout the praises of God. I'll just do it internally. I just want God to know. I got to tell you, if I was the blind guy that hasn't seen my entire life, and I've been in this unchanged condition all these years. I've been held and cared for and brought to this point day after day. And now Jesus passed by and says, you can receive your sight. And I open my eyes. I gotta tell you, bless God, I can see. I don't think that's how he responded. I think there was so much emotion on that day. I think there was so much excitement. And I really doubt that there was a ton of decorum. Well, brother, let's not lose ourselves in the circumstances. I think the crowd went ballistic. And if you can get excited about a stupid football going through the goalpost or a stupid putt being laid into the green and into the hole, and you can get excited about the ball going through the hoop, and you can be excited about the putt going in the net, then by all means, why don't we get excited when the blind can see? Well, Pastor, we've got to maintain our decorum. Listen, when the blind see, heaven rejoices. And I'm telling you right now, this man was beside himself. The last part of this is an unbelievable cure. Jesus came to a stop and commanded him to be brought to him. He asked him to put his request in words. His need was obvious to everyone. Surely, surely, this one will make the difference. Nevertheless, the Lord wanted his request to be voiced. After all, perhaps he was just begging. But not him. He wanted to be saved. He wanted to see. No one ever appealed to Jesus in vain. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, he said. So runs the eternal promise of Christ. The man expressed his need. Lord, that I may receive my sight. Jesus said, thy faith hath saved thee. Now, I just want to tell you, last Sunday morning, and this happens on more than one occasion, but it just happened that it was last Sunday morning that I was sitting here on the platform. First time I've done that in quite a few years. And Brother James was singing, Till the Storm Passes By. And if all of you all hadn't been in the auditorium, I would have run it. In college, I attended a church called Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and the pastor was Harold Seitler. Dr. Seitler used to sit on the platform, and boy, the old Burns Trio would start singing. Whoa! It was some great music. Dr. Seitler, in his probably late 70s, early 80s at that time, he used to sit there and he'd just go like this the whole time they were singing. Whoa! Great song! And he'd say to the group, come on, sing it again! Why? Because we're singing praises to Almighty God. But then we come back to our dignified stand. Now, I'm not saying I want shenanigans and all the hoopla and everything like that. But I tell you what, it is exciting when there's an amen now and again. It is exciting when someone says, preacher, I think you treat something there. Oh, that's not very dignified, Pastor. Well, it may not be dignified, but it's great doctrine. Pastor, you really shucked some corn today. Oh, now you're saying it. Yes, that's good stuff. It's not me saying it. It's actually an excitement for what Jesus can do with the blind. Now, I know we read verse number 43. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. I don't think this guy ever got over it. Have you seen any of the parents that videoed their kids' excitement over Christmas presents? Have you ever seen that? You ever seen that? The parent has it all set up and they're so excited about what they're going to give to their kids. And so they video it. They sometimes do it secretly. And I mean, the kid is just going all over the house, telling everything and everybody. Look, I'm serious when I say verse number 43. It is going to be amazing to get to heaven and see the replay of what this scenario was like when this man could now see. This is why heaven has to be eternal. Because I'm going to sit and listen to this story 10, 12, 15 times. And I won't get tired of it. Tell me again. Tell me again. I know we read it so quick. But what we find in this passage is that he receives perfect sight. His sight is whole. His sins are forgiven. If you wonder if Jesus can forgive sins, my friend, Jesus can forgive sins and Jesus can make the blind to see. Jesus can forgive sins and he can make the lame to walk again. And everyone that was there in the crowd began to praise the Savior. He has perfect sight. And he followed him, glorifying God. Let's look at two men real quickly here in the ending. Jesus is conversing with a man that's come to him and said, Lord, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, sell all that thou hast and follow me. This man, because he had great riches, went away sorrowful. He rejected the opportunity there in meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. And to our knowledge, we don't ever know that Jesus passed that way again. We don't ever know that Jesus had another encounter with that man. You see, that man came to Jesus and said, I want to hold on to all my stuff, and so I'm willing to walk away. This man came with what seemed to be an unchanging condition. And even though the crowd wasn't real excited to help him, why don't you just be quiet? No, he's the only one that can make a difference. And this may be the only time that he'll pass by. I won't be silenced. And Jesus heals him. And the Bible says they gave praise to God. This, my friend, is what Jesus can still do today. Perhaps this morning you're still lost in your sins, still blind. According to the Word of God, the Bible says the devil has blinded their eyes lest they should come unto the knowledge of the truth. Perhaps this morning you're still in the same condition and it seems as though it's unchanged. Well, nothing's changed for me, Pastor. I've been trying to be a better citizen. I've been trying to be a good moral person. Nothing seems to be changing. Well, on this day, Jesus passed this way. And my friend, if you'd like to see this morning, you can meet Jesus Christ. And by the way, the sight that he gives is like no other. Because your present condition is changed. And your future destination is changed. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to speak on these things this morning. Thank you for this great story. We read it in such few verses. It's just so unbelievable to consider the length of time that's involved in these short verses. To consider that Jesus passed this way one time. This man was so energized by the fact that Jesus, the Son of David, was nearby. He's not going to be silenced. He's not going to quit crying out until Jesus hears him and he knows for sure that Jesus has heard him. What he must have thought when people came and picked him up on each side. Where are you taking me? Wait. I want to see Jesus. I want to get to Jesus. And they set him down in front of the Lord and he hears the Master's voice, that same voice that breathed or that spoke the worlds into existence. And he says to the Master, I would that I receive my sight. Just in this quiet moment, what it must have been like when Jesus spoke those words and this man could open his eyes and see. Really, in truth, we could declare that his faith had become sight. Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. And he opens his eyes and he looks on the beautiful sight of the Savior. If there be one this morning that's
never had that point in time where Jesus passed by their life. You might say it this way, according to the book of Romans, they realized their sin. And the Bible says there's a wage or a payment for our sin. They realize that we've all come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that without Jesus Christ, that we have an eternal destination away from God in a place called hell. But there's a gift that's been given, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to the cross of Calvary and died for our sins. He took our place. And this morning, Jesus is passing by this location for those that are here on campus. And for those that we have watching online, Jesus is passing by. There perhaps are people under conviction. And I pray that they'd have this understanding. They're a sinner. And their only answer for their sin is the Lord Himself. They'd realize that their condition can be changed by the blood of Christ. And if there are those today that would come to sight, be able to see the present condition has changed, their future destination has changed, then we understand how exciting that would be and we'll rejoice together because another one has come into the family of God. Would you please do the work that you can do in this time of invitation and these moments that we have of personal inspection? Lord, would you direct, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet with me this morning? We have a time of invitation here at FBT. We desire to present the truth of the Scriptures. And then we desire to have you contemplate the truth that's been given and to make application in your own heart. And that's something that we do in the time of invitation. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to come this morning to play a great, great hymn of invitation, Jesus, I Come. Jesus, I Come. In many ways, my friend, understand that I was the blind man begging. There came a time in my life where I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior and I received sight. It's a point in time. It's spiritual birth. It's not a process. Salvation is a point in time. Has there been a time in your life where you've repented of your sins and asked Jesus to come into your heart to save you? If not, today's the day that Jesus is passing by, and we invite you here at FBT to come and let us take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you know Christ this morning, don't allow this time of invitation to pass by, but that you do work with the Lord as well. Perhaps you're praying for that spouse or that sibling. Perhaps you're praying for that parent or that child. Perhaps you're praying for that aunt, uncle, or grandparent to be saved. And by all means, take this time to pray yet again that God would bring them to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If this is the place where you'd have, where God would have you to serve, we invite you to come and to join with us here at FBT. Say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been scripturally baptized. And we have that offering as well. Love for you to take that step of obedience and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. As the hymn of invitation is played this morning, won't you come and do what God would have you to do today?